Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today there's been a change in schedule, and that's because of an error that I made. Tomorrow, we are going to be having two guests instead of one, but today, we have an open mic day. That's right, so you're going to be able to call in at any time during the hour, and I'll give you information on the guests that are coming up for the rest of the week. But in the interim, I wanted to say, if you want to call me at any time during this hour, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, you're able to get a reading on the air from me at 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I always love to know what part of the country you're calling in from. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive. And then you could ask me a question about anything that you like. In preparing for the show today, I had a number of thoughts go through my mind. And by the way, for those of you listening, if you were not aware of it, the email newsletter has already gone out, and it is up on my website. So just go ahead and check it out at DelphiInternational.com. I came across 10 Points by William J.H. Buckler. And when I found them, I said, you know, this is really significant. These are very good points. Now, I don't know when J.H. lived. I have no idea. But I do know that this is a man that really had some very strong thoughts about life, about prosperity. So I thought I would share them with you today since we have an open mic hour. These are his 10 points. Number one, you cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. Two, you cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. Three, you cannot help small men by tearing down big men. Four, you cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. Five, you cannot lift the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. Six, you cannot keep out of trouble by spending more than your income. Seven, you cannot further the brotherhood of man by inciting class hatred. Eight, you cannot establish sound security on borrowed money. Nine, you cannot build character and courage by taking away a man's initiative and independence. And ten, you cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. When this was written, whenever he put these words to paper, these points are strong and they stand well, regardless of generation. When you are raised with these kinds of attitudes, there's a self-sufficiency that is encouraged. And I can remember talking to someone, and I know we've got a caller on the line, but I want to discuss this a little bit more because one of the things that has always been very significant about the American is that awareness of self-sufficiency and that drive to be able to stand true to what you know needs to be done. And I think the American spirit, I don't care where you've come from, I don't care what your age is, anything like that, is so viable, so precious, and so special. And when you think of how much we've been able to achieve and accomplish, this is not the time for us to go backwards and get into pity pots. This is a time for us to go forward with that same initiative. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take our first caller. And again, today, I don't have a guest. My guest is going to be on with me. Actually, I'm going to have two guests tomorrow. So this is your opportunity to call in. Don't forget, 888-815-9756 is that telephone number to call in to. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Jay, and I'm calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Well, Jay, are you out of the snowplow section yet?
Oh, you're laughing.
So
we got snow coming.
Oh, well, you better have a sense of humor, otherwise you cry because of the snow. Actually, it's not bad at all. It's just part of what this time. We're still in winter. We haven't hit spring yet. I was talking with someone up in Alaska about an hour ago, and they have 50 inches of snow. And just saying, whoa, we've been slammed this year. Well, let's get down to business with you. First thing I am looking at, Jay, is determination, focus, and I'm seeing the word follow through. It's like a blinking neon sign. Don't drop the ball. Follow through. This sign just keeps blinking, 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 blinking in my mind. So apparently you've had a sense of discouragement. And during the winter months, that's easy to get because you're closed in. Weather conditions can keep you from doing things that you otherwise might be able to do. But if you take and maintain your focus, not only are you going to be able, as spring comes into the picture, are you going to be able to implement the action that you want to implement, but you're also going to have what I call a few ahas between now and the end of March. And there are some ideas that are going to come into your mind that are really going to grab your initiative side of self as well as the imagination. And you're going to say, I can utilize XYZ. This is going to work out very well. Also, apparently, you're going to get a bigger education on social networking. And I envy you that because it's a whole genre in and of itself. And I really think you're going to do quite well with it. So have patience. Follow through. Don't drop the ball. What would you like to ask me today?
You're always great with those inside stories first. You know, actually, I lost my job because of economic stuff on the 18th of February. So I'm just trying to, you know, just looking for a job to pay the bills. And like I said, I'm doing some teaching now, workshops actually, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, people are getting more and more attracted to it. So it's really, really interesting out there. Which do I take? You know, take a part-time job or a full-time job, and then work on my stuff about my passion is. So that's the question.
I would say you can, even if you got a full-time job, you could still do your classes.
You would just have to
designate a time. So I would say it's not an either or. What you're doing right now is following what you know is right for you. And this is the time when you're gaining your skills. This is the time when you're building your expertise. This is the time when you're getting results. And this is giving you feedback that is superb. So use this. Integrate with this. And even if you get a full-time job, which I believe it or not, you are going to be able to get a job. What kind of job are you looking for?
Well, I was looking for a job in my field. I was actually a coffee service technician, and I was just looking for something like that because it just keeps me busy and still have fun with it. And
excuse me for interrupting you. I'm actually seeing 2 to 3 businesses that could use your skill and expertise. I'm not seeing just one. I'm seeing 2 to 3. So I would just go around with my business card to every espresso shop, Starbucks, whatever you've got up there, and just go for it.
Okay.
And I would just put it out there because I think you're going to have more than one person that's going to want your skills. So don't limit it to just one.
Yeah, I'm pretty talented in some computer expertise, too, so, and website design.
Yeah, but that's not your passion. You like working with your hands. You don't mind. See, the computer stuff is going to really assist you with your classes because of all the bells and whistles that you can add to it. But remember, when you're teaching, what people want most, you can have all the bells and whistles in the world, but when you're teaching, they want it to come from the center of you. They want the essence of who you are. Remember that, and you'll always be successful as a teacher.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call, Jay. Enjoy the snow while you've got it.
Yeah,
sure. Oh, that made your day, didn't it? Thanks
it
for calling in, Jay. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in, this is an open mic day, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Quick like a bunny, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to have on two guests. We're going to be dealing with music, analog brain in a digital world. Greg Tamblyn is absolutely awesome as a musical comedian. So we're going to be playing some pieces of his and listening to his stories. He has these awesome lyrics that he puts to music, and they are terrific. Then we're, after that, going to be talking with Dr. Kilcoyne about Obie's wisdom. So he is going to be on in the second half of the show. So tomorrow we will not be taking callers. But this hour today is an open mic day, so you are going to be able to call in at any time during this hour at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Anyway, I wanted to go back to the quote that I gave you a little bit ago, and I just want to pull one of those 10 points out. And it's, you cannot build character and courage by taking away a man's initiative and independence. And the word man is not gender specific. It's just a grammatic term. But when we take away, like with our young people, when we try to make everything easy for someone and they don't acquire the skills of problem solving, don't acquire those qualities of industriousness, of follow through, of being able to deal with disappointments, we really do them a disservice. I can remember when I was younger, becoming aware of the fact that when you go through tough times, when you're younger and you're able to go through tough times, those can serve you very well because life is going to smack you right up alongside your head, so to speak, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, either when you're young, middle-aged, or when you're older. Nobody gets through life's experiences without getting slam dunked. I don't know of anybody, period, including myself. So it's up to us to be able to have the courage, the fortitude, the wherewithal to be able to stand up to those challenges and say, okay, maybe I goofed, maybe I screwed up royally. That's okay. So you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, let's move on. Let's get going. Have you ever been around someone that can spout from a book? They memorize all kinds of things, and they're supposed to be wise, and yet you listen to them and something doesn't resonate with you. Why is that? Because you know they're not coming from their center. You know they're not coming from experience. Don't you just love it when you encounter somebody that, well, this is what you should do. Oh, that's very nice. Tell me, have you ever walked across a minefield in Vietnam? Have you ever seen a burn victim in a hospital? Have you ever suffered the loss of a child or a member of family? You know, you can go through all kinds of things. So many times people will say, no. Well, what are you basing what you're talking about on? Well, I read Dr. So-and-so's book on page number 243. That doesn't cut it. What really touches people and what really makes a difference, just like I talked to the gentleman that was on the line with me just a moment ago, it's coming from your center. And, you know, I can remember for years I carried guilt because I felt I had made so many mistakes in my life, and it was so bad, in my view. Boy, was I surprised one day when I awakened to the fact that there are a lot of people in life that had gone through things that were just as difficult as I had gone through, but that had gone through even worse. And I found that when I talked to them or when I was talking with people, and I could say, I could empathize with you. I can't say I know your particular experience, but I can empathize with you because let me share with you what I've known. and there was an instant communication. But you see, I had to go through experiences. You have to go through experiences. It's not good. It's not bad. It's what you do with them. And I know you're going to hear that said so many times on my show in so many different ways, but it's really true. And if you don't know the dark night of the soul, you really cannot understand when somebody else goes through it. If you don't suffer disappointment, you cannot really empathize with someone else. Now remember, I'm saying the word empathize, not sympathize. You don't want to wallow in somebody else's down cycle. What you want to do is be able to say, you need support, I will give you support, but you're still going to have to take the journey on your own. You still have to make your choices and decisions. And this is so important because sometimes we become so frightened. We become so scared. We are so fortunate in today's world because there are so many support groups out there. But I'll tell you what, something that really turns me off are the pity pot specials. I don't know about you. But the wailers and the moaners, have you ever known any that have gone on for 20 or 30 years, tell the same story, they've never left it behind? Mm-hmm. They're pity pot specialists. Well, you don't need any of that. Remember, life is going to dump on you at different times. It's up to you whether you're going to make a superb souffle out of it, or you're going to be in mucky muck. So it's up to you. And it takes courage to live. You know, it takes guts. I learned that at 19 years of age. It takes guts to live this life. No namby-pambies. It really does. So don't be afraid of what you might ever, whatever you might be going through. Remember, these challenges are going to enable you at some point in your life to turn around and bless somebody else's experience because of what you've been through. You'll be able to give them that encouragement that they need to withstand the turmoil and the pain, maybe even the suffering that they've gone through, because you say, I can show you. I made it. You can too. Very important. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is an open mic day, 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to share some information with you that I recently came across, and to me, this is incredible, absolutely incredible. College for free. Have you heard about this? Well, I've known of people, I've known of elderly people that have gone back to college because they say there's so much I want to learn. Well, they will get their classes for a very reasonable fee. And I thought, what is it that they're doing? I had no clue about auditing classes. I learned this a few years back. But I thought, wow, isn't that great? If you have the time, you can go in and audit classes. You can actually sit in a classroom and you're not going to get any credits, but you have a chance to continue your education at a very reasonable cost. I know a lady in New York that, my goodness, she was in her 80s, and she had been going and taking college classes for years. She loved it. She said she was around young people. This was great. And I said, wow, I want to be like her when I'm in my 80s. Well, I learned about these college courses for free, and I was just blown away. So I thought I would share something with you. I've got a whole bunch of information in front of me. So I wanted to give you a couple of websites. And you say any academic subject you've ever wanted to learn or relearn is available online. I'm not joking here. It's true. Now, here's a few of the collections of free courses. iTunes U. Apparently, Apple has an educational portal. It says you can learn anything, anytime, anywhere. Amazing. So just go to iTunes U if you have one of Apple's particular pieces of technology. Then there's academicearth.org. academicearth.org. You actually can browse lectures that have been put on at Harvard, Stanford, Yale. My goodness. I mean, gee, if you wanted to know about law, what a wonderful opportunity. You can post questions and comments and see which lectures get A-plus grades from people that have used it. on YouTube.edu, and you go to youtube.com/education, they apparently have a phenomenal academic collection that has content from more than 300 colleges and universities from 10 countries in 7 languages. It's mind-boggling what technology has been bringing to us. Also, there's the Einstein Knowledge Network. Now, Einstein is spelled differently, Einstein.com. There are complete courses, including downloadable syllabuses and documents. There's more than 35 categories, and there are 100-plus university providers that put all of this data in. Then there is Khan Academy, and the website is khanacademy.org, and that's K-H-A-N, academy.org. And it's one person that is lecturing on all kinds of topics and especially strongly oriented towards numbers in science. And then openculture.com is a guide to free audiobooks, language lessons, academic podcasts, classes, and intelligent video sites. We are living in such an incredible period. Just think of how much information is available to us. But here are some resources for you. And if economically you have wanted to educate yourself in different ways, but you just haven't had the money to pay for college, why not take advantage of something like this? Who would have ever imagined that these kinds of opportunities would be available to us? Now, this is what I've come across. The statement was, the benefits of our wired world is that for a lot of years now, prominent, prestigious universities have been posting complete courses on the web, tuition-free. And it started off here in the U.S. when the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, started uploading classroom material without charge in 2002. And they say now the challenge is navigating your way through all of the material that is on there. And this one person that, in fact, his name is David Hockman, he decided that he wanted to see how much he could have access to in 30 days. He wanted to see how much he could learn. So he was checking out physics, sociology, astronomy, gastroenterology. He said whatever was grabbing his fancy because he wanted to become more educated. Well, he went and did a Google search. What he discovered was quite mind-boggling. He came up with 320 million results for free online education. That is just almost incomprehensible. And he said he decided that he was going to stick to the free offerings from those universities that were accredited. And he really liked the video lectures over the audio ones, because he found in the research that he had done that our brains work best when we have something to look at and we could also write down what we're learning. And stop and think about this when you're viewing a video. You can hit a pause button. That's right. That's so important. So he said his mother, actually it was his grandmother, he calls her a cyber prof. She's 84 years of age. Her name is Marion. She's been teaching anatomy at the University of California for 50 years. And he said the course she teaches, there are 736 students that attend each class. And there's a lot of others that can't even get in. And he said, you know what? When you're online, you're in the front row. And he said, it's amazing. He's just loved absolutely every moment that he's been able to spend watching his grandmother, calls her his cyber grandmother, teach this class. So he said it was just amazing. He said, I stayed up long, long time watching her videos. And he said, it is amazing what I learned. And he said, the neat thing about it is nobody's taking attendance. Nobody's grading you, offering feedback or job tips. He said, it's just amazing. He's just thriving in this. So I wanted to share that information with you because, hey, there's so much. You know, you may have some college students maybe want to find some additional stuff that can help them with their own learning curve. Here we go. It is absolutely incredible. So I am just overwhelmed with it. And when I think, I know I read 400 to 600 books a year, but there are so many things in life that maybe you want to know more about. Go online. You've got it. Terrific thing. Well, I want to also share with you something here that I came across. And this was a poem about hope and love. And it's written by Jane Hirschfield. Now, don't forget, you can give me a buzz. This is our open mic hour today at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, this whole hour is available if you wanted to give me a buzz. Tomorrow, that will not be the case because I'm going to have two guests. Tomorrow, we're going to have Greg Tamblyn with the Analog Brain in a Digital World musical comedy we're going to be talking about in the first half of the show. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kokorin about Obi's wisdom. So there will be no calls tomorrow for tomorrow's show. And then on Friday, remember, I'm going to be appearing at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, and I'm going to be hosting a women's forum there. For those of you in the state of Washington, I have six fabulous speakers that I am going to be interviewing, and there will be an opportunity for interactive questioning. So I hope you can come out. And remember, the show is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Gals, it's a great thing to participate in. Saturday, I'm going to be speaking at 1:30 on The Psychic Mind in You, and also on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Same topic. So all 3 days, I'm going to be speaking and interacting with people, and I'll also be in booth number 407 at the show where I am going to be doing many consultations for people. So I look forward to seeing you there. Hope and Love by Jane Hirschfield. I love this because it is especially related to winter. All winter, the blue heron slept among the horses. I do not know the customs of herons, do not know if the solitary habit is their way, or if he listened for some missing one, not knowing even that was what he did in the blowing sounds in the dark. I know that hope is the hardest love we carry. He slept with his long neck folded like a letter put away. Hope and love. Herons are such beautiful, beautiful birds. I just love them. We have them here in the Pacific Northwest, and they love the wetlands. And you have to keep your eyes open for them because the herons will stay very, very still. And usually you will notice them. They sort of blend in with the environment that they're in. But they're so regal in their presence. And then all of a sudden, they'll make a movement, and to watch them fly, to watch them spread their wings and just fly off into the sky is an incredible experience. So I hope that you have the opportunity sometime if you've never seen a heron, I hope you have the opportunity to observe them. They are absolutely magnificent birds. So I really appreciated her poem. Now, by the way, we're going to be going on break in just a moment. When we come back, I've got some health information to share with you. Also, I want to let you know I've got a recipe for some winter greens. How about collards? Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite vegetables along with kale. How about some Cajun rice, a little bit of bacon, and the greens? Well, I've got a neat recipe, really easy to fix. You could do it in a crock pot. When we come back, there will be a little bit of that, a ghost story from Alaska, a true life experience, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But you'll also be able to call in and chat with me if you want it. 888-815-9756. This is an open mic day. We'll be right back.
It's time to get your glow on at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 4 entertainment stages, fascinating seminars, and best of all, shopping, shopping, shopping. New this year is the Glow Experience. 5 fun and easy steps to help you make the most of your time at the show. Meet Terry Haas from HGTV's Design to Sell. Polly Klein, famous animal communicator. Dance diva Chris Linares, who will help you unleash all the power you need to dance your own dance. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule. And they're back! Seattle's hottest firefighters. Bring your mom, your daughter, your sister, your friends. The Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Drugstore.com, American Family Insurance, BECU, Como TV, Beauty.com, and Queen Smoke. It's electric. Get your glow on at Questfield Event Center March 4th through 6th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to let you know again, this is an open mic day. Remember, tomorrow I will have 2 guests, so I will not be able to take calls tomorrow. And then Friday, we're going to have a Best of Donna. We're going to do a repeat program because I'm doing the appearance at the Northwest Women's Show here in the Seattle area. So wanted to let you know about that. So give me a buzz if you'd like to have a little bit of psychic insight from me, 888-815-9756. I did want to share some health information that has come to my attention. I'm always intrigued with the way we are progressing. For a good 20 years, I've been telling people what they saw in the Star Trek movies, where someone's going to be able to do a scan on you, be able to make evaluations about metabolism, what's the best kind of food for you to have, chemically, etc. It's going to be there. Well, it is happening with a rapidness. One of the reasons it's happening so quickly is because of technology. We can talk about the things that have not been working, but you have to remember there are a lot of dedicated people around the world that see sickness and problems that people have and say there's got to be a better way. Something that I'm watching evolving, which is so meaningful to me and I'm hopeful to you, is that Western physicians are finally becoming comfortable with Eastern philosophy, whether it is from India or it is from various aspects of Asia, or even going along with the knowledge that we are gaining from many areas of Africa. There is so much in the way of knowledge that when we can pool it and we can bring it together, it enables us to become more effective in how we treat people, in how we work with various situations. The Native Americans had many different components. Dealing with herbs, because all medicines originate from plants, period. So whether it's synthetically produced or not, the key is we have to honor and respect this planet we live on, because Mother Earth has so much to give us if we will just take the time to, and be wise enough to be good caretakers, listen, and understand that if we poison ourselves, we poison the environment, we poison ourselves, and that is not a win-win. So little by little, throughout the world, we're becoming wiser Now, there's a lot of people that have been wise for a long time, and nobody was willing to listen. But now we are, because we're seeing various incidences of physical situations, conditions, and elements regarding all factors of life, whether it be a lowly worm, to the human being, to the eagle that flies in the sky. We're all connected. And so if we don't take care of it, we bring problems into our environment. And that's because of our own ignorance, many times superstition, and lots of times fear. So when this knowledge can come forward, when people work earnestly, it's really important. And I wanted to share with you a couple of things regarding stem cells. Now, one component of stem cell therapy is that they can be made from our own stem cells. Our bodies can be utilized. And lots of times people, when they've heard about this research, there's been so much controversy. Well, because of technology, we've been able to move forward with a rapidness that it would not have been possible 20 years ago. It just wouldn't have happened. There's a physician, Joshua Hare. He's the director of the Interdisciplinary Stem Cell Institute at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. And he said, we have proven that it's safe to give heart attack patients stem cells. And they said they found that the treatment has enabled those people that have had heart conditions to recover. He said it's extremely exciting. They don't know exactly why it works, but they find that stem cells are sometimes called the body's generic cells. They have the ability to differentiate into most kinds of cells in the body. So there are so many groups, not unlike Dr. Hare's, that he said it's like we're competition. We are just leapfrogging. That is his word exactly, leapfrogging in their advancement. He said one of the studies that was done regarding stem cell usage, there were 45 patients. He said they were very, very ill. They couldn't even talk. They were so sick. And he said now, and this was from Bob Nellis, a spokesperson for the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, New York. He said, now these patients easily walk the length of a football field, and one has taken up a trumpet, playing the trumpet. These are things that make a difference. They're understanding that there are components within the human body that can help it heal itself. And this is wonderful. I think of a physician who was in the military and was stationed in Vietnam. Many times in war, soldiers are injured and they will hemorrhage to death because they can't get medical care quickly enough. And during the years in Vietnam, this was too frequently the case. Badly wounded, and he was in this little village. And I don't recall the name of the village or the exact year, but what occurred, what really stuck in my mind most vividly, he said he was talking with these villagers. Now, they had rice paddies all over the place. And apparently, during the time of war, stakes were put into rice paddies or just in the automatic planting of the rice paddies. You could puncture a foot. You could step on a rock, a piece of branch or something that might be in the water that you couldn't see. The villagers, for many generations, because they had been rice farmers for a long time, knew how to stop hemorrhaging, and the wound would heal without infection. They knew of a plant. He had a soldier that was severely injured. They just put the plant right on it. It coagulated the blood, stopped the hemorrhaging, and it healed at a phenomenal rate. He wrote down everything that they told him, knew what the plant was, and then he went back. He also had a degree in chemistry. And he said it's all chemistry. And he designed an application that could be carried in first aid kits so that if someone was severely wounded, this particular medicinal component could be put on a wound and stop the hemorrhaging. It was an incredible discovery by him. It was in a program called Beyond 2000. So you have people that find out this information, but to be able to get it out into mainstream, today it's a little bit easier. But he synthesized it so that it could be done, because he had to find out how chemically he could do this. But these people had known this for generations, because they had to survive difficult environments that they were working in every day. Amazing stuff. So we have this, and also, let me see, there was something else that I wanted to share. Lung cancer. If you know of anyone that's a heavy smoker, they need to know about this. They need to know about it, because so many people, I had a very dear friend that died from lung cancer. I've actually had a few friends, and they all had been smokers. So this is not something to be taken lightly. Getting screened with a low-dose chest CT scan may cut your risk of dying of lung cancer by 20%. Now, this is a study that just came out this past November. They said there's nothing short of stopping smoking or never starting smoking that has sort of impacted the tendency on lung cancer. He said that's very, very important. Now, not everybody should line up for a CT scan, because the scan has a lot of radiation that it gives out and it has serious downsides, including false alarms that can lead to unnecessary surgery. They said we have very few options for lung cancer once it's established. So this kind of a test will have profound implications. They're also going to get to a point eventually where we're not going to be bombarded with so much radiation. Are you aware that if you have dental exams, that if you go in and you have those x-rays, don't do it when you're going to be taking a plane trip, because if you go through one of the scanners, your radiation dosage is going to be quite high just from those two components. I learned that just recently. So you need to think about these things differently. They're eventually going to have it so that you're not going to get bombarded with that much radiation, but it takes time. So we have to be cognizant and we have to be thoughtful. We have to be aware. We have to be mindfully present about how we look and how we take care of ourselves. It makes all the difference in the world. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic and hour, 888-815-9756. Have that pad of paper handy and pen? Okay. This is a recipe that is so delicious, and it's so easy. If you want a good winter dish, it's going to load you up with nutrition and it's really going to taste good. And if you are someone that's a vegan and you don't want the bacon, okay, don't have the bacon. But I like the bacon. I really do enjoy pork. Now, this is what you do. This is Cajun rice with collard greens and bacon. You're going to need 4 slices of bacon, and you cut those into pieces, like about 1 inch. You know, it's just no big deal. Just chop, chop, chop. And then you're going to need 2 red, orange, and or green peppers diced. I like to mix them. I love the color of it. So you do whatever you want, but just 2 peppers, and the bigger the better. You're going to come out with about 2.5 cups of peppers. And when you're cutting up the peppers, if you have a few seeds in there, don't worry about it. Just mix it all in. 1 onion, and I like lots of onions. So for me, I like to get the biggest onion possible. You'd get an average size onion if you want. You want to chop it up. And how you chop it is up to you. If you want big, thick chunks, that's great. If you want finer, that's okay, too. You're going to need 1 cup of uncooked rice, 1 cup of uncooked rice. And this recipe calls for white rice. If you want to substitute brown, know that it may take a little bit longer to cook it, because white rice, you know, doesn't have very much nutritional substance. It has no fiber, but the brown rice does. Then you're going to need 1 package, a 10-ounce package, of frozen chopped collard greens, and you want it thawed. Now, if you don't like collards, use kale. That's right. Or mustard greens. Now, I prefer the fresh. So I like kale. Collard doesn't have as much flavor to me as kale does. Do whatever you want. That's how the recipe reads, is a package of the chopped greens. But again, I like to use fresh. And then you need a can of chicken broth. If you don't like chicken broth, use beef broth. Use your imagination. You know, this is, use whatever broth you want. You're going to need a teaspoon of dry Cajun seasoning. Well, I like my stuff spicy, so a teaspoon is not enough, but it depends on your taste buds. Remember, you can always adjust your seasoning. You're going to need 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 2 tablespoons of white wine vinegar. Now, that is a kicker. That's something you don't expect. Now, here's how easy it is. Oops, we're going to have to go on break. Tell you what, I'll give you the directions on this when we come back on how you fix this, and it is delicious. It's a great winter dish. nutritional, and it tastes good, too. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. I'll give you the directions on the Cajun rice with collard greens and bacon when we come back. Plus, I have a wonderful story about a woman entrepreneur. So, more good things. We'll be back in just a minute.
We're back! The Northwest Women's Show with 400 exhibits, entertainment, seminars, the Glow Experience, fashion shows, and shopping, shopping, shopping. Meet HGTV's Terry Haas, animal communicator Polly Klein, and Seattle's hottest firefighters. March 4th through 6th at Questfield Event Center. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, here are the directions for cooking your Cajun rice with collard greens and bacon. Now, what you want to do, you want to cook your bacon, of course, first, until it's nice and crisp. And then you just let it drain on paper towels. Now, you want to save about a tablespoon of drippings from the skillet. Keep the heat about medium-high. Add in your peppers and onion. And just cook it, stirring it occasionally, until they're just sort of getting brown. The onion will be translucent. That'll be a few minutes. And then you want to add your rice, your collard greens, your broth, your water, your seasonings and salt, and just put them all together. Then you, in that same pan, you bring it to a boil, reduce your heat to medium-low, and then cook it for about 20 minutes until the rice and vegetables are tender. Now, if you use the fresh kale or fresh collard, it is amazing. It cooks up like spinach. The water will come out of the fresh leaves, and frozen is next to fresh. So it depends on what you've got available. And then you remove from the heat, stir in 2 tablespoons of white vinegar, and then sprinkle the bacon on the top. Now, if you wanted to put this in a crock pot and you wanted to go and do something and have this ready, just put everything in the crock pot, everything. Obviously, you're going to saute your bacon first because you want that crisp, but you're going to find that all of those flavors will marry in a crock pot. And if you put it on low, whether it's for 4 hours or even 8 hours, it's just going to be absolutely wonderful for you. If you're going to use brown rice, you want to make sure that you allow that brown rice is going to need to cook for its average time. Now, something you could do with a brown rice is pre-cook it. So, like maybe instead of the 40 minutes that it takes for brown rice to cook, you instead just cook it for 20 minutes and then put it into your mixture and then allow the flavors to marry. This is something that makes a great dish for, let's say, a buffet if you're going to take something. Again, putting it in a crock pot, it is just so easy to do, and it tastes so good. And you can adjust the spices and seasonings as you want. But it's healthy, and it's just absolutely delicious, and you're going to find that your family will like it, and kids will even enjoy it. That's the truth. Okay, and I want to remind you, this Friday, I'm going to be at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. I'm going to be in booth 407. I'm going to be there for the entire weekend. And on Friday, I have the Best of Donna playing because I'm going to be presenting my women's forum. So if you didn't get my newsletter and you want to see that newsletter, then by golly, go on to my website and you'll have all of that information there for your convenience. And if you want to check out more on the Northwest Women's Show, go to northwestwomenshow.com. Also, at the end of this month, on the 24th, a Saturday, I'm going to be appearing at the Emerald Spiral at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. This is absolutely a phenomenal expo. Again, it's in the state of Washington, and it is perfect. It's a family-oriented event, and for one day, you have the opportunity to interact one-on-one with people from all kinds of modalities from the metaphysical area, and different products and services are there. It's just wonderful. I will have a booth there. It is just a marvelous experience. So if you want information on this event coming up on the 24th of March, then go to emeraldspiral.com, and we will be able to discuss that and have, in fact, Susan Harmon, who's in charge of it, is going to be on the air with me. I think it's on the 23rd of this month, so we're going to be talking about what's happening at the event and what's going to be going on there, so she'll be on the air with me. Now, I told you I had a ghost story for you. This is Alaska, and of course, Alaska is just a very special place to me. I just, for those that are listening up in the far north, I'm so glad that Alaska has been a part of my life. I just love the stories that come out from that area because it's just gorgeous. If you've ever have a chance to go up there, take the cruise. That is a wonderful way to get introduced to that magnificent part of the world. Tagish Lake is located south of Whitehorse near the Yukon-British Columbia border. Now, Tagish Lake is quite large. It's about 30 miles long, and it joins with Lake Bennett and Lake Marsh, and all three of them form the headwaters of the Yukon River. Now, these lakes, during the days of the gold rush, were the gateway into the Klondike gold fields. Now, this is something that was put in a publication on June 24th, 1916, and it came out of Nome, Alaska. It was in their paper, the Nome Daily Nugget. And this is all about a vision. This is a true story that happened on Tagish Lake. And Ethel Williams, or someone in her family, gave Don Mack's letter to the wire service. And for Don Mack, there is no other information they were able to obtain about him or this vision he had, but he wrote this letter. Now, this is the way the story goes. It was during the Klondike Gold Rush, and Ethel Williams of Syracuse, New York, got a postcard that had a very strange message on it. It was sent from Don Mack of Juneau, Alaska, who was a very, very wealthy man. He was also a mining engineer. And she got this picture of a dog team, and the following words were written on the card. If you will write to this address, I will tell you why I have sent this card. Now, would that intrigue you? Sure would intrigue me. Well, she responded. And this was the account that he gave. He said, "Dear Miss Williams, I'm a mining engineer, and my work has taken me far into the interior of Canada and Alaska. Ordinarily, I finish my work and reach the settlements before the lakes and rivers close and am able to make the trips by boats and canoe. Last fall, I delayed too long and was obliged to come out by dog sled a distance of 700 miles. Shortly before I reached Tagish Lake, I fell in with three Indians and a Frenchman on the trail. We started to cross Tagish Lake, stopping midway on a small island to camp. While I slept, I dreamt that I saw a young girl dressed in light summer clothing standing in the deep snow around me. She was so real to me that I asked her who she was and why she was there. The vision told me her name was Ethel Williams and her home was in Syracuse, New York. She said she knew it was my intention to keep on the direct route over the lake. However, disaster lay in that direction as there was open water covered by thin ice and snow. To be safe, I should go up the river 25 miles, where I would find solid ice. At this point, I was awakened by the howling of dogs and the shouts of Indians. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and my companions were preparing to leave. I told them of my dream, but they all laughed at me. I did not go with them. I followed the instructions of the dream girl, and when I reached Skagway, the Indians and the Frenchmen had not been seen. I headed a search party down the lake to the point where they would have reached the mainland. We found the canoes and some of their outfit floating in the open water. So, Miss Williams, I consider that you saved my life and mail this card to you from Juneau, Alaska. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'll be with you tomorrow. Two special guests. Don't miss out. Talk with you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.